This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. If you want to contact me, again, I'll give you my website address and mailing address at the close of the program. Some of you may want to get on the free mailing list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. And you may also want to contact me for a copy of this program on a CD, or you may want to leave me prayer requests. So at the close of the program, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write my addresses down. Now today we're going to look again at Acts chapter 14. We've been looking at Paul's first missionary journey in Acts 13 and Acts 14. And the thing that has impressed me as I've been looking at this work that they were doing is that it was not an easy work. It was a difficult work, and yet they were very faithful to the Lord and to the message as they did the work that they did. Now, in Acts chapter 14 and verse 7, we found out that they continued to preach the gospel. That was the work that they were doing. And now, in verse 8, it says, "There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, crying in the speech of Laconia, The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these things scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people. And having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, and we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word." Now you'll notice that this stoning apparently took place at Lystra. And when they had preached the gospel, they returned again to that very city. At the end of the passage we have read, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Now they had not been treated well at Iconium. Even though there was resistance to what they were doing, they were still faithful to the Lord and faithful to the people who had believed through their word. Now, it's interesting in my mind that when we look at the gospel today, oftentimes we have made a big business out of it. We find a certain aspect of the gospel that we want to become experts on, and we make that particular aspect of the gospel a big business. Today I see that happening with the doctrines of creation, and it disturbs me a little bit, because while I believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and while I believe that that's a very important doctrine, that we do worship, as it says in this passage, the creator of the heavens and the earth and not pagan gods or men, though I believe that, yet my religion is not the religion of creation. My religion is the religion of Christ. I follow Christ. And sometimes we get involved in some of these side issues, which are important issues, but they sidetrack us from the main business, which is the business of preaching that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised again the third day. And as we get sidetracked, we sometimes give people problems they don't need. You'll notice that these people preached about creation, but they didn't get into the details of how that it worked. They accepted the fact that God had done it. And you'll notice that they didn't get involved in politics. Now, we know the Jews had wanted the Romans to be overthrown. The Jews had wanted to institute the kingdom that they saw predicted and prophesied in the Old Testament. And even the Lord himself will one day come and set up that kingdom. But while he was here the first time, he paid his taxes and he submitted himself to the authorities that were in power and even allowed those authorities to crucify him. He did not come with an army to overthrow them. He said, "My kingdom is not a physical kingdom. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Else would my servants fight?" And these men kept themselves free from the problems that go with trying to be a part of the political system of the day. Even Paul had to be freed from that. He was a Pharisee, and as a Pharisee, he was serving the wrong ruler. He was serving the wrong God. He was serving men instead of God. And yet he thought he was zealously serving God. And so when he was saved on the Damascus Road, he turned his back on his career as a Pharisee. And at that point, he submitted himself to Roman rule. And in his last chapter, he says that he had been delivered from the power of the lion. And he was thankful for that. Nevertheless, the time of his departure had come, and he was willingly submitting himself to the Roman authorities. And in his case, he said he was going to be delivered from every evil work. And it appears that he was delivered from every evil work through martyrdom, through death. But what I'm saying is that these men had their eye on a heavenly kingdom, not on an earthly kingdom. They had their eye on the preaching of Christ, who was the creator of heaven and earth, and they make that very clear, but the emphasis is upon his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The emphasis of the gospel that they preached was upon worshiping him, and I have been impressed lately that the first commandment in Exodus chapter 20 is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," and yet, isn't it true that Satan continually comes in and tries to get us to put ourselves in front of God, make ourselves more important than God, and make man more important than God, and make man's ideas more important than God, and so we worship the heavenly stars which God has created, and we worship the men sometimes that God has put in our path to preach the gospel. So we can see that evangelism sometimes is first worshipped and then it can be despised, and we see that in this passage. And in our day, we used to think that the gospel cured problems, but there's an element in our world today that thinks that the gospel, particularly the gospel of the Christian, the gospel of the risen Savior, the gospel of Christ, is the cause of all of our problems. And we have to recognize that as we preach the gospel, it's not always going to be popular. And when it is popular, it may only be popular for a little while, and then the very people who were trying to deify the preacher of the gospel may very well be the ones who will ultimately try to crucify or stone that person, because we can see that that's what happened here. And so we find out that because of these men, Paul in particular, was able to do this mighty miracle, and this man who had been lame from his birth was able to walk. We find that the people first wanted to worship him because of the power that he had. And it's always our tendency to want to deify people who have great gift and great ability. And even when John sees all of these events unfolding in the book of the Revelation, he falls down to worship the angel that is showing him these things, and the angel reminds him at the very end of the gospel, or very end of the book of the Revelation, that he is to worship God. He's not to worship the angel. He's not to worship people who carry the message is to worship God. And if John, who was the apostle who was on the Isle of Patmos, had to be reminded of that, certainly we need to be reminded of that as well. Men are important in God's plan, but no man should take the place of the preeminent position that the Lord Himself really should have, and the position that the Lord Himself deserves. And I just find it remarkable as to how quickly things changed for Paul and Barnabas here in Lystra. First, they're wanting to make God, worship them as gods, as the manifestation of the pagan gods that they had always worshipped. And then in a few minutes, their minds are changed, or in a day at least, or two, their minds are changed when these people from Lystra come down, or these people from Iconium come down and convince them that they are really preaching that which is troublesome, that which is a problem. So we read in verse 19, there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. And it didn't take them long, and pretty soon now Paul, who was first going to be worshipped as God, he is stoned. And so when we preach the gospel, we need to remember that we don't want to preach the gospel in such a way that we are offensive, but the gospel is offensive, and there will be those who will stand against it. And when we are being received as though we were important, when the gospel preacher is being popularized, that's always the point at which there's a real danger of ultimately losing our effectiveness altogether. But what I find encouraging when I look at Paul is that even though he was stoned, and I suspect that this is the point in 2 Corinthians, I think it is, where he talks about being caught up into the third heaven and seeing words that, and hearing words that he cannot repeat, and seeing a scene that he can't tell us about. I believe that while this is what he's perhaps referring to here in this passage, yet even though he was at the point of death, he comes back to this place. I would have said that was a place I would never have returned to, but he comes back to this place, and I think he does it because he knows that there are people there who need the gospel, and those who did believe the gospel need encouragement, and he was faithful to that. Paul didn't let popularity, whether it was being popular or not being popular, persuade him from being faithful. He just followed the Lord. He didn't make a business of the gospel. He just preached it, and he allowed the Lord to take care of his needs, and he was faithful in the way that he did it. Paul and Barnabas both were faithful in the way they did it. They allowed it to take them where it was going to take them, but they did what the Lord wanted them to do, and that was to preach the gospel. Friend, the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the Scripture, and that truth is the truth that saves. And I hope that today, as you're listening to my voice, you're not being attracted to the people who preach the gospel, but you're being attracted to the gospel, the person who is preached in the gospel, that you're being attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you have believed in Him and are a true worshiper of Him. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson. Bless all that has been of Thyself. Bless those who are listening, whatever their needs might be. We thank Thee for Thy love and commit all that is of Thyself into Thy loving care in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.